Months out, so you stick with me. All right, so there'll be part two tonight, and we'll see how the Lord will lead us. I want you to listen carefully this morning. I'm sure there'll be something here for all of us, not all of you, but all of us. All right, everybody, all right?
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father, I come, Lord, you are so wonderful. Lord, I don't understand why you fool with me. I know me, and Lord. What everybody sees ain't always what it is. And Father, I pray this morning that you would cleanse me, that it might be the same all the time. That, Lord, that I might walk with you all the time, in private, in public, it don't matter. But, Lord, that I might be what you want me to be. God, I ask you to cleanse me, empower me as you see fit. And, Lord, may the Word of God have free course this morning. Speak to our heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Getting ready for revival, and as we get ready for revival, I thought many things about what is needed and how we need something here in our church for the Christian. Now, I could spend every Sunday morning just preaching the gospel, and you come every Sunday morning, hear the gospel, and if you're saved, that's wonderful. You can say amen and go home. But there's more than just the gospel in the Word of God. There is things that's expected of us, or things that maybe, whether it be expected, it's desired of us, or commanded of us, that we ought to live a certain way. We are living in a day when the world has more hold, it seems like, for us here in America anyway, than ever. There's always something that's pulling, always something that's pulling. Everybody said, boy, I wish we had what they had back years ago. Well, to have what people had years ago, you got to give up everything you got. All right? Give up your four-wheelers and your vehicles. Give up your inside plumbing and give up your grocery stores and give up your big paychecks. Give all that up and just trust God. All right? Walk to school. Walk to work. All right? Try to make a living just scratching out there in the dirt somewhere. No ball games. No movie houses. No school activity. When you get to eighth grade, quit. All right? Well, that's how everybody was raised. I have nothing. Work all day in the fields. Put up your hay. Don't get paid for it. Help your neighbor. Don't get paid for it. All right, plow the horse. Now, if you want what everybody had back then, that's what you're going to have to do, because the reason we don't have it now is because we got so much stuff and replaced everything. All right? Now, if we learn to prioritize, we can still have everything we got and still love the Lord and walk with the Lord, but we never learn to prioritize. All right? And what we need today, instead of having a worldly life, we're supposed to have a spiritual life. If you're saved this morning, the world ain't supposed to have no pull on you. Ain't supposed to have no pressure on you. When we get saved, we're saved from the penalty of sin. When you get saved, you're saved from the penalty. Everybody listen to me. If you believe that, you ought to say amen. Always take the opportunity to say amen where the truth is, and you can agree without it hurting you. Okay? So when we get saved, we're saved from the penalty of sin. And hell is no longer in my schedule. I was going to hell, but because I got saved and because I was a sinner, but Christ paid my debt, I trusted Christ, and that penalty no longer is against me. I'm not going to hell because I'm born again in Jesus Christ. But then he saved me from the power of sin. And he saved you from the power of sin. That you do not, and I do not, have to give place to the devil. That we do not have to live in the flesh. We do not have to. But we choose to. But we don't have to. Some glorious day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin when we get to be with Christ. But until then, I need to understand that I have victory in Jesus now. And that I am saved from the power of sin now, but I've got to use it, if you would. All right? And we're living now where the church and church people, professing Christians, are just as worldly as those who've never known God, never been in a church house, never known anything. In a lot of areas, there's no difference. There's not much difference in our attitude. There's not much difference in our action. Huh? That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And we don't have to like it, and we don't even have to like that I said it, but it's still yet the truth. What we need is we need Spirit-filled people. We need people who are not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. And that's what we all, if you're saved this morning, this is what you're commanded to do, is to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he said, well, I got this to do. God don't lead you to do anything that's going to take you away from Him. God does not lead you in any way that's going to make you talk different than a Christian ought to talk, or go where a Christian ought to go, or do what a Christian should not do. God does not do that. So if you're doing that, then you're not led by the Lord. Common sense, okay? So what we need is to be Spirit-filled. But when we talk about people being Spirit-filled, everybody gets scared and think, well, you want me to have some big supernatural experience and talk in tongues. Well, I'm not going to ask you that because the Bible don't and God don't. And tongues cease, and that's all we're going to say about that. All right? Everybody understand me? I wanted to make sure I said it clear. And it's tongues ceased. All right? After the first century, it ceased. Amen, preacher. So what I'm talking about is a Spirit-filled life. Now, we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 5 just a moment. We're going to preach to you. I'm trying to help you if you'll let me help you. I'm trying to help myself. And I don't know about y'all, but I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help spiritually. I want to see God do something so much in our town, so much in our church. But unless it starts in our heart, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Huh? When I read Ephesians chapter 1, I find Ephesians chapter 1 will talk about my possessions in Christ. When I read Ephesians chapter 2, it'll talk about my position in Christ. When I read in Ephesians chapter 3, it'll talk about my purpose in Christ. When I read in Ephesians chapter 4, it'll tell me about my purity in Christ. But when I read in chapter 6, it'll talk about my path in Christ. But when I read in chapter 5, it'll tell me about my power in Christ. And my power in Christ is not my strength, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-led life that we as believers need to have. Everybody understand what I just said? Now, if you want that again, I'll give it to you again. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll find our possessions in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll find our position in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, we'll find our purpose in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'll find my purity in Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I'll find my path in Christ. But in chapter 5, is what we want to look at this morning. One simple verse, I want to look at our power in Christ. Our power to live as God wants us to live. And that's being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That we might live the way God wants us to live. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We'll give you three verses, one in Ephesians, one in Galatians, one in Colossians, but we're going to come back to this verse right here. Is everybody with me this morning? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. That's a command to be filled with the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Think about that. Then turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And these three verses are actually parallel verses in the epistles. All right? Be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Now look at verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." You say, well, that ain't nothing filled with the Spirit. You're not going to be filled with the Spirit unless this takes place. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You ought to mark him three verses and read them, because we're talking about a spiritual filled life, a spirit-filled life. How many would love to have a spirit-filled church? Talk to me. Would you love to have a spirit-filled, I mean, just when the power of God was here, would you love to have that? Talk to me. You're not going to have it if it ain't in your heart. If it ain't down at your house. If you ain't spirit-filled down at your house, or when you're in your car by yourself, or you're outside on the swing, on the porch, nobody's around, if you can't be spirit-filled there, you're not going to be spirit-filled in here. Because it's not some emotion, it's not some supernatural event that we're going to come up here and turn you upside down and shake you and do all that. No, no. It's the desire of your heart to get right with God and walk with God and talk with God and live for God and be what God wants you to have. That's the spirit-filled life. Then you say, well, I thought this feeling was something special. Well, let's see if it is. See, everybody is related, and I have too in the past. I've studied about this here in the last few weeks and past few days especially. And everybody talks about, you know, you get filled with a bucket. You like to fill a bucket full of water. How many have ever heard an illustration like that? Talk to me. And we know that if you put dirt in a bucket, then you're going to have to get all the dirt out of the bucket. How many people heard that analogy or illustration? Well, that's good. Go ahead and fill a bucket and set it. And the reason I thought of this, I went out to my garden, and I had no bucket sitting there, and it was plumb full of water. Clean bucket, plumb full of water. Green water. But it was full, and it was just as stagnant as could be. But it was full. There wasn't nothing else in it. But I wasn't going to drink it. Huh? But it was full. And we've had in our mind a lot of times it's going to be some supernatural thing. Whether we get full, then what? We're stagnant. We may have been full a long time ago, but we ain't now. Huh? Well, you say, well, the dirt come in. Well, that's possible. That's possible. But maybe that's not what that feeling is. The analogy's wrong. Maybe the analogy, here a year or so ago, me and Cheryl went out on the lake on a boat. We borrowed a boat and went up there on a boat. And one of them fellas come by. I don't understand how they do it. They was in a sailboat. You remember, they went by, and they went by us at a pretty good clip. We was in that pontoon boat. They went by us a pretty good clip in that sailboat. There wasn't no motor on it, you understand? I had a motor on my boat. But they had nothing but a sail. And that sail was filled to the top with something you couldn't see. And it was moving in the direction it was supposed to move, at the speed it was supposed to move. But it wasn't mechanical. See, our feeling of the Spirit anymore is mechanical. Right. What we work up, what we crank up, what we put gas in, what we try to get going. You're right. Instead of what we don't see directing us and moving us in the direction we're supposed to go under the power as a whole heap bigger than what we can generate. Huh? But it fills that sail. Y'all understand that analogy? And see, we always talk about filled, but we better pay attention to what we're filled with. We all right with that? Turn to John chapter 16. We're going to read a few verses here and then get to the message. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. In verse 6, Jesus is just telling the disciples, you know, he's leaving. Everything's going to be different. Look at verse 6. He said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Wait a minute, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit filling me up. Well, here's sorrow filled your heart. See, there's a lot of things we're filled with. It's not always the Spirit. Sorrow filled these guys' hearts. Everybody understand that? Well, let's look again. How about turn over to Luke chapter 5? Everybody follow me this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And look here at verse 26. It says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. They were commanded to be filled with the Spirit, but now people can be filled with sorrow. People can be filled with fear. We still okay? How about look here at Luke chapter 6, verse 11. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Fear, some was filled with sorrow. Some was filled with fear. Some was filled with madness. We still okay? How about over in Acts chapter 6, verse 5? And it don't have the word filled. It has a present word, a present term. In Acts chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Here we got somebody filled with faith. We got somebody filled with sorrow. We got somebody filled with fear. We got somebody filled with madness. We got somebody full of faith, plumb filled up with faith. Huh? How about Acts chapter 5, verse 3? And it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now we find somebody's full of the devil. Huh? Now why would that be important? To be filled with sorrow, filled with fear. Why do we even want to look at him? Filled with madness, filled with faith, filled with faith, because that's what was controlling in people. The disciples were filled with sorrow, so sorrow was what was directing them. Everybody follow me? They was down in the mouth. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, I'm going to die, I'll come again. He had done told them that, and they're filled with sorrow, though. They're filled with sorrow, they're not believing everything else he said. Can I tell you, a lot of times we get full of sorrow, and nothing else will direct our actions. Everybody understand that? But yet the Bible said be filled with the Spirit. Are we still okay? See, it's what controlled me. What I'm filled with is what controlled me. Huh? How about, it says there in Luke, he was filled with fear. You know, fear is a very real thing. You know, you got to be careful. You know, these people there are people that's afraid of spiders. You know that? I mean, their fear is so real that you couldn't get them under the house if you try to beat them under there with a pole. Because they'd be spiders under there. Huh? These people has a fear of snakes. And you ain't going to get them in a... You go back where all the brush is around the barn, there ain't no way up. There'll be a snake over. I know, man. I'm looking at him right now. Dave Butler, I won't say his name. But Dave was a snake in his house one time. He got shot. I'm going to shoot his house up. Because a black snake got in his house. But I wouldn't tell that on him. Filled with fear. There are people that are filled with things that controls them. Huh? What it does, when they're filled with fear, it keeps them from doing things. But it'll also cause them to do things they wouldn't normally do. Do you know that? People filled with madness. I mean, have you just got plumb mad that you done things that you didn't realize you'd done? Anybody here ever done that? Just got plumb mad, plumb through, that you threw a tizzy and didn't know what you said, didn't know where you went, didn't know how you acted. I'm sure ain't nobody done that. I have. I'm sure ain't none of y'all done that. You know? I'm sure it's been bad, huh? Everybody listening to me? You know what you were controlled by? You were controlled by that madness, by that anger, huh? That you lash out, huh? You know, your eyes roll back in your head, look like some wild man. Here you do things, and then you come to yourself and say, "Oh wow!" But you were controlled by that madness. Everybody still understanding? It's very few times are we full of faith. But yet I read in Hebrews chapter 11, all of those folks had faith, and they were full of faith that they worshipped and they worked and they witnessed and they suffered and was persecuted, seeing mighty things happen because they was full of faith. Right. You know, so we see the positive example there, but then we see another example where it says that Satan filled Ananias. Now wait a minute, Ananias went to church. Ananias was given to the church. Ananias and Sapphira were part of the church, and they were filled with Satan. Now I know there's no way like it here that's ever been filled with Satan and went to church. You know, and lied. Surely ain't nobody in the church ever lied. Huh? But that's what controls us. But you always tell the dud. You go, yes, amen, amen. Right. Now it says be filled with the Spirit. Why are we wanting to be filled with the Spirit? So it'll control us.
Right. That's right.
See if sorrow and fear and madness and Satan can control me, why can't I just go and submit to the Lord and let Him control me? Not that I'm a robot. No, not that I'm like that. But that I've submitted to Him, that His ways are, I've adapted His ways. That His wants, I've adapted His wants. Huh? So when I think about what we need for revival and what we need for the help of this church, and what do you need for the help in your home? Because I know we got problems in our homes. I know we got problems. Huh? If we ain't got problems with the husband and wife, we got problems with kids, or problems with parents, or problems with grandkids. Everybody's got a little bit of issue in their home somewhere. Everybody does. Because we're normal people. And we're all messed up. Some are medicated, some are not, some need to be. That's life. Alright? Think about it. But we need Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost to lead us. We need to follow the Lord. It's important that we follow the Lord. Our children are following us. We got the children downstairs teaching them and preaching to the children. They're not down there coloring a picture of Noah's Ark. Huh? They're being preached to and taught downstairs. And then I'm up here trying to preach to us and teach us that we might be together and follow the Lord. But I would be willing to bet that there's nobody in this church house this morning that sat down with their kids and teach them to be filled with the Spirit. I bet you've never had the discussion to be filled with the Spirit of God. We showed them how to be full of madness. We've showed them how to be full of faith. We've showed them how to be full of sorrow, but we've never sat down and said, listen, you need to live this way so you can be filled with the Spirit and be submissive unto Him that He'll guide your life. Well, thought upon the wall, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all the heart, lean not to the understanding, all the ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy path. Yeah, wonderful. That's wonderful. Makes a good plaque. Makes a good thing over a fireplace or something. But do we really mean it? When are we as Christians going to realize that we're Christians to be Christians?
Right.
We're not Christians to be worldly. That we're Christians to be Christian. Huh? That we're a child of God. That I act like a child of God. Huh? That I look like a child of God. That I walk like a child of God. When are we going to do that? Huh? How long? How many generations have to go by? Huh? Some of you older guys here this morning, you've already stood and testified in the past that God saved you from a life of drunkenness and meanness. But when you walk by a Christian, somebody you knew that was a godly man or a godly woman, that though you'd be drunk or high, you'd do your best to walk a little straighter. Just to walk by them, just to get by them, just because of the respect you had for the life that they was living, because they was living for God. And now ain't nobody paid no mind to us, even in the church pew, let alone out on the street. Huh? When are we going to decide to be Spirit-filled? You say, well, I'm not understanding Spirit-filled. Well, let me see if I can help you. Filled with the Spirit is a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will and dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. How about that? Everybody hear me? Let me say it again. Huh? Filled with the Spirit. The definition is a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will and dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. When are we going to decide to do that? When are we going to mend? When are we going to have enough backbone to stand up and say, I'm going with Christ? Huh? Men? Hear me. How many women, when are you going to decide? Huh? When are you to be filled with the Spirit of God? That don't mean you're going to have to submit to your husband. You're going to have to get out of a man's place to get in your place. When are you going to realize you've got to do it? Huh? We're talking about being Spirit-filled. Okay? Why should I be Spirit-filled? So everybody will look at me and pat me on the back. No! No! Ain't got nothing to do with that. Why should we be Spirit-filled? Listen to me. So we'll being filled with the Spirit for in our Christian life for the purpose of producing fruit of souls? Huh? For the purpose of showing forth the fruits of empowerment in the ministry, for the purpose of the fruits of victory over temptation, for how about the display of the fruits of the Spirit that it says in Galatians? Love and tenderness and meekness and long-suffering and patience. Huh? When will we decide to be Christian? I want to see a revival in our church that we decide to be a Christian. That we have the revival of the Word of God in our heart, that we decide to be a Christian. Filled with the Spirit. That we walk in the Spirit and don't give in to the lust of the flesh. Huh? That we are able to overcome temptation. I don't know about you, but there's things tempt me. Anybody here ever tempted over stuff? Hey, do you realize? I know you're not going to believe it. But there's times I've got to shut my mouth. Because you can't handle what I'm going to say. And there's times it wouldn't be Christian. I know y'all don't have that trouble. There's times that I personally feel, God, I've done repented of it, but there's times that I think it would be better just to slap somebody silly than to pray for them. I'm tempted. Now, I know y'all never been tempted that way, but I have. I'm not tempted with other women. I'm not. I'm not tempted with Lee. I never drank a drop. I don't have to go back to them times. I've known one woman for all these years. Never known another woman. I've never touched a drink. I'm not tempted by that. But boy, I'm tempted by temper. And I'm tempted by sarcasm. Y'all know I've never. But there's a million other lists. I could make you a list. And I need victory over them things. I cannot maintain that victory with my flesh. I cannot walk and have a meek spirit. I cannot walk with the spirit of long suffering in my own. I don't have it. I don't. You know? Are you listening to me? We've got to have the Spirit-filled life. We've got to have it for direction. We've got to have it for leadership. Man, I've done cranked my own motor and went too long to where I'm trying to do it myself. And you know what it does? It stresses you out. When you try to be a Christian on your own, it stresses you out. It messes with your mind. It messes with your body. Huh? It gives you an upset stomach. It gives you migraines. It gives you heart palpitations. It raises your blood pressure. Huh? If you don't believe it's a temptation, did you realize that number two on the list of heart attacks I was reading, number two is pastors, CEOs, and pastors. Because of the stress. Huh? No, I don't think it's because of it. I think it's because of the temptations. Are you following? I can't live that. I can't live a Christian life. Right. It's Christ in me, hope of glory. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that enables me to live. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that enables me to sing when there ain't no song ought to be sung. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps me to pray when I don't feel like praying. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that causes me to go to this blessed old book to find the help that I need day after day. I can't do it, but I need the Holy Ghost of God in my life full, and a Spirit-filled life. It's what we ought to have. That'll take care of a lot of our problems. That'll fix a lot of the things in our home. That'll fix a lot of the things in our heart. The bitterness and unforgiveness and the things that we harbor there if we'll just go ahead and yield to the Spirit of God. We okay this morning? And we think about being filled and realizing its true meaning, it comes down to one thing, I believe. And one thing only, and this will be the message, is whether or not that's what we desire. It's whether or not that's what we desire. What do you desire this morning? What do you desire this morning, huh? There's a list of things we could do, you know, service in church and work in church. That's all good. Yeah, I'm not going to turn away a helping hand in the things of God, things of church. But what do you desire in your heart? See, whatever you desire in your heart is really going to dictate what you do. Now, we can say, well, I'm weak and I desire to do this. Well, let me tell you something. There's some things sometimes you got to put the feet to some things. You know? Sometimes you've got to get up. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you just got to get up and go on for God. Sometimes you ain't going to have no help. Sometimes there ain't nobody going to be for you. Well, let me tell you something. I'll go ahead and encourage you now. You can live as godly as you want to, long as it ain't better than somebody else. Because the minute you start living better than somebody else, you're going to get ridiculed. The minute you get a little bit more holy than what they are, then they're going to main mouth you and talk about you. They're going to gossip about you. But somewhere you're going to have to determine it don't matter. It don't matter. That the Lord is all that matters. Let me ask you a few questions. We'll quit this morning. Do you desire the things of God? Do you desire the things of God? I'm asking you. Only you can answer that. See, this morning, I'm not asking if you want to be saved. If you want to be saved, then that's between you and the Lord. I have nothing in that. If you understand that you're a sinner and lost, going to hell, then you can come to Christ if you will. But if you won't, to hell you'll go. That's simplicity. But us that are saved, I've been preaching to us that are saved. Huh? Do you desire the things of God? Huh? To what point do you desire the things of God? To what degree? To what degree? There's some things that I can eat every now and then. But there's some things I can eat every day and it never enters my mind. It just be good. I have no problem. Every day of my life I could eat beans and cornbread. I don't get tired of that. I don't get tired. Yeah. Now if you want to switch beans, okay, but you don't have to. If you want white soup beans, lima beans, brown beans, I don't care. Pan of cornbread. If that's all that Cheryl ever fixed me, I would never sit on the table again. Because you know why? Because every day of my life growing up, I had beans. There was beans on the table every day of my life. You know, that's what the family I was born in eat. Are you listening to me? The family I was born in, that's what we eat. Beans. Huh? The week my mommy died, they had to be beans thrown out of the refrigerator. All of our life they was beans. Huh? But the family I'm born in now eat different. Huh? See, the family I'm born in now, it's normal, everyday food. From the Word of God. See, when I growed up in the home I was born in, when Mommy hollered out the door, "Supper!" I don't know what the other kids, and I know what this kid did. This kid dropped whatever was in his hand and went to the house. You can look at me and tell I've not missed no meal. See, there was a time that I was always hungry in the family I was born to. There was a time I ate everything that was on the plate and licked the plate because I was so hungry. There was a time that I didn't care if it was the same thing. I eat and I drink the bean soup and I eat the bread and I take my finger around the edge of the skillet and I'd get the crumbs and I eat everything and hoping that B.B., Mooney, and Cindy didn't eat much and I ate everything that I could. In the family that I was born in. But now, if we eat once a day, okay. We'll cook a bit of pot of beans, a pan of cornbread. To my disgrace, there's been cornbread that I didn't eat at home since we've been married. The older I get. But then I go back and look at the home when I was born in, when I was born again. Had a steady diet of words of God and prayer, presence of God and fellowship of God's people. And I have that, and there was a time that I would lick the plate and wanted everything that was on the plate, every crumb, every drip, everything. But now that I've got older, there's stuff left on the cabinet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do we desire the things of God? Do you desire the things of God? Do you desire the Word of God? Do you desire it? Not do you read it. I'm asking, do you desire it? Do you desire, like Job said, more than my necessary food? Do you desire the Word of God? Do you desire for God to talk to you? Let me tell you, we're so busy, we don't even want to listen to the Bible on tape. We want God to give us some special vision that we can talk to God. Let's have a little short conversation. I've got stuff to do, God. But do we desire the things of God? Do we desire the Word of God? Do we desire the fellowship of God's people? Do you desire the fellowship of God? There's something wrong when Christians don't desire the fellowship of God's people. It ain't the people that you got the problem with.
Right.
It's you. Do you desire to fellowship with God Himself? Do you spend time seeking God or seeking His glory? Seeking His face? I'm just asking. I'm preaching on that we need a Spirit-filled life. I'm just asking this morning. It's all going to hinge on what we desire. Let me see if we can find out how we know. Huh? What is your priority? What is your priority? Now, I'm not trying to be offensive, right? I'm not trying to, and I have nobody pegged down. There's nobody name written down here. I have nobody in mind. Everybody okay so far? Because what I'm going to say may not make you, may not like. We'll come to church when we can't do nothing else. But we'll plan things on Sunday. So we have to miss church. We'll plan parties, reunions, homecomings. We'll plan our ball games. Listen, I want everybody to understand, I'm not against sports. Everybody understand that? But I believe you're wrong to replace it and take place at church. I believe it's an idol. I take the Bible and show you that it comes before God. I'm not against sports of no kind. You want to play them? I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I ain't going to run over it. But if you plan purposely to miss the house of God, and it's planned, huh? I'm not against vacations. I'm not. I'm just telling you, it's hard when the church and the work of the church and the Lord seem like that's not the priority.
And there was a quiet come over the building.
I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or smart aleck. I'm asking you about priority. How many, honestly, how many will miss a day's work, will plan a birthday party on work day? Call the boss, said, I can't come today. Why, I can't come? You said, no, we're just trying to have a party. And I know you understand. Boss says, sure, you want a raise?
Yeah.
Now you said that's really sarcastic. Boy, wasn't it? But is it true or not? We ain't going to call the boss and say that. Do you know that if you're going to be out of town, you'll tell me? If somebody dies in your family, you'll tell me. But if you just got something planned where you're going to miss, you know, it's rare that you tell me. Because you're afraid I'm going to say, you really think that's good? I wouldn't say that. It ain't none of my business what you do. It's none of my business what you do. I'm just telling you that we need a spirit-filled life and it'll help you. It'll help you. But I can't make it. I can't make you. Not mad at you if you do. Not mad if you don't. I'm just wanting you to understand priority. Priority. Obligation. Priority. Dedication. Priority. Huh? You ever go to a doctor and you go out and you get ready and you plan for weeks to go to your doctor's appointment and they call you and say, we have to postpone. Doctor decided to be out of town. And you say to yourself, you old folks, I've been waiting, I've been so sick for 3 weeks and I've been waiting on this appointment and he decides to leave. So? What's the difference? God's got an appointment with you to give you what you need on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. He's waiting on you to show up and you call and say, nah, I can't be there today. I got other things more important. I'm just preaching. Desire. The meaning says a wish to possess some gratification or source of happiness, which is supposed to be obtainable. That sounds great. Then the next meaning says desire. The coveting of carnal things or an irregular appetite for worldly good, inclination for unlawful enjoyment. Now that's the same meaning for desire both ways. Can I read it again? And Cheryl, you go to piano. Desire says a wish to possess some gratification or source of happiness which is supposed to be obtainable. Or desire, the coveting of carnal things or an irregular appetite for worldly good. Now I didn't write this. I copied it. Inclination for unlawful enjoyment. See, the spirit-filled life is going to take total surrender. The spirit-filled life this morning is going to take confession of all known sin. And the spirit-filled life this morning is going to take forsaking of the sin. And I'm telling you this morning, what we need to help us is a spirit-filled life. But if you don't desire it, ain't gonna happen. Father, I've tried to give what you've given me, and I know I fail. Oh my, how I know I fail. But Lord, speak to our people this morning. Let us see the priority, desire, all these things. That's what's gonna be the start of whether we're willing to surrender and confess our sins and forsake our sins. Lord, I pray that you might send revival to this church. Send revival to us, oh God. Send revival to me, oh God, please. Please. That we might make a difference. That, Lord, that we might see fruit of souls. And, Lord, that I might exercise the fruit of the Spirit. That I might be a Christian, Lord, that I would be a Christian. Above all, that I might be pleasing to you. Speak as only you can, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's